Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. You simply the
best. Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
For King G, where comfort is king.
1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, ho, let's go.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
And so good to have your company on this Saturday afternoon. Nathan Brown, Ryan Girdler, Emma Lawrence, Tony Squires with you. 30-10, that was the winning margin for the Storm over the Raiders. They go straight through to the grand final next weekend. They will take on either the Panthers or South Sydney, who will run around at ANZ Stadium this very evening. Right now, though, why wouldn't we use the experience of super coach Nathan Brown for this?
The Coach's Corner with Nathan Brown.
I'm intrigued about the topic for today.
I'm going to talk about Kyle Flanagan and I suppose the pressure on young halves and how difficult it is as a young half to be able to, I suppose, nail it in big games or get the recognition you probably deserve. And I don't have any relationship with Kyle Flanagan. I think I've said hello to him twice. I don't know his dad very well. We've said hello to each other probably on a handful of occasions after games. So I've got no agenda to drive here. I just, first of all, I'd like to say I understand why the Roosters are doing what they're doing because they've got two other halves there and they obviously deem, you know, young Walker, who many clubs tried to sign, or Lachlan Lamb as a possible better option. So I understand that as clubs making a decision. What I don't understand is the outward noise and the outward pressure that Kyle Flanagan's copped after the Roosters loss. And I think I spoke about this last week. If we look how good Cooper Cronk was, it was a maybe 8 or 9 time grand finalist. It took Cooper Cronk, you know, it was 4 years before Cooper and Cameron and Billy were good enough to get the Storm to a grand final. So that's, you know, and they never got hurt, them blokes. So that's roughly 100-odd games. Cole's only played 30, 35 games. If you look at Andrew Johns played, I think he started first grade in 94. So he went 94, 95, 96, 97, around 100 games before Knights won their first grand final under Andrew. And that was half a competition. And the Brisbane Broncos rolled out the same side that won the Super League competition that year and won the grand final by 40 the following year, you know. So then Joey was good enough to get the Knights home in 2001 again, you know. And there's probably two of our best halves we've seen. How long did it take Jonathan Thurston to win a grand final with the Cowboys? It's an extremely difficult position to play when you're expected to win. And I just feel that, you know, Kyle Flanagan, from the outwards, not Roosters, but the outward noise and the different people being critical of him, is very, very unfair. I think he needs to be given, you know, another 40 or 50 games in his career before then people start to say where Kyle Flanagan is going to get to as a player. Now, will he become a very good first grade player that's able to get a team over the line, over the final hump? I'm not prepared to say he will or won't, but what we need to do is give him the opportunity to gain the experience, which appears it may be at another club, and then judge him in 3 years' time. We'll see how Kyle Flanagan's going then.
It's so difficult, isn't it, that position that is so key, those playmaker roles, where you do have to grow into them, you do have to learn, but there's also the expectation of success immediately, isn't there?
Well, at the Roosters, obviously, they're a club who, yeah, they're, I mean, they moved Mitchell Pearce, who was obviously a very, very good player and has had a great influence on the Knights, to bring in Cooper Cronk, you know. Cooper Cronk went out, and they brought young Kyle in as their replacement. They also brought young Walker at the same time, who was very, very, you know, a player who many, many clubs wanted to get. And they've got Lachlan Lamb there, who showed in his games this year that he's a developing player as well. But, you know, as we know with the Roosters, if they're not playing in grand finals, they're a club that's not happy, which is great. And Kyle would have known that before he went there. And as I said, I understand why the Roosters have told Kyle he's not going to be there, because they've just made a decision that they think they've got a better option. I just don't understand all the rest of the noise.
And in terms of the Bulldogs, it's that's where it seems to be the noise around Kyle Flanagan heading out there. Is that a good fit for him at the moment, do you think?
I would have thought it's a good fit because he's going to get to learn his trade with a team that's going to be allowed to grow. You know, next year there's no pressure on Canterbury to win the grand final or be a top 4 or 5 team. You know, they've got a pretty handy forward pack already. They've just added young young Hetherington to it, is a terrific player, and there's room to be talking to other players. So I think that coupled with, you know, Trent's obviously improved, Nathan Cleary's passing game this year's really developed, the way he's working on people's shoulders and moving the defence is far better than any stage of his career. And so Trent's had a good influence on Nathan Cleary. So I think, you know, the less pressure there'll be on him, he'll get again get coached by someone different. So he's had Trent Robinson, he's had his father, and now he'll get Trent Barrett. Yeah, so all these little different experiences working with different coaches can only help him as well. But I would have thought that move to Canterbury, if that's the way it goes, far less pressure. He gets to learn his trade and grow his game with the team that's allowed to learn its trade and grow as a club as well.
It's a tough old game, isn't it, when, you know, this sort of news, he was delivered by Trent Robinson and his father said he was absolutely gutted, as you would expect for him, a kid who has come through and you know, playing some good footy, then to be told you're not required. And whatever those reasons, but we're going to speak to Brent Reed in a minute and he'll probably tell us some of the things about, you know, but, salary cap and so on.
That, but far better to be told it now,
yep,
as opposed to in 6 months where opportunities elsewhere could dry up, you know, because, as I said, the Canterbury one may be a really good opportunity, and now the Roosters could keep him there and keep him to have depth and go with someone else, which is a terrific backup player. So, you know, the Roosters have told him now so he can make that decision, well, if I'm not going to be here past next year, I'll go to Canterbury and grow with that club, or I'll go elsewhere and grow with that club, as opposed to keep him hanging on, you know. So it's far better coaches giving the player the direct feedback that they need, and that'll only help him grow stronger as well.
That might have something to do with the Roosters salary cap as well, Brownie, this year with Tedesco asking for, you know, what he's asking for, and the Morris boys re-signed, I think Friend re-signed, and Sam Walker. So they've probably, you know, give him an 12 months notice and said, well, you know, if you can go somewhere else at this point, and we're going to bring someone else through,
right,
and we need the room in the cap.
Contract,
yeah. So he's still got another year there, yeah.
Yeah. The, in terms of the young halfbacks, though, I mean, Sam Walker, Ben Walker's son, he's, everybody says he's a genius. You don't know. We don't know until he starts playing NRL what he's going to bring immediately. How long is that lesson going to take?
Yeah, well, one of the problems we've got for this year is these younger kids that are very gifted players haven't been able to play, have they? They've had no football to play. So the positive for that for young Walker is it would have given the Roosters extra time to work on his body, because he was only a slight build kid. So that's given him extra time to probably work on his body. So, you know, the downside to not playing is the positive he's got to work on his body and build his body up and get stronger. So it may fast track him as far as his physical attributes go. But he's an extremely talented player. But as you said, until they actually get out there and get it done, and you need some things to fall your way.
All right. Thank you much so much. That's the Coach's Corner. Next, though, we get Reedy's Mail on the Saturday Scrum. Thanks for King G. This is the Saturday Scrum. We do it thanks to King G. And now let's have a little bit of this game.
Ladies and gentlemen, three in.
I love Tony Sessions. I love the 3 and 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
3 and 5.
Melbourne Storm are already in the grand final, though. I'll be running around next weekend against either the Panthers or South Sydney. Man, very much responsible for the success at Melbourne Storm over many years is one Craig Bellamy. So he is the subject
of the 3 and 5.
Of the 3 and 5. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's not really 3 and 5. It's just a series of questions which you have to answer.
Hasn't
using...
been for months. But...
No, I did 3 and 5 last weekend. Mm. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Really?
If you wouldn't mind testing your buzzers for me, that would be terrific.
Emma.
Brownie.
Okay, excellent. What is question number one? Craig Bellamy's nickname?
Gerds.
Yes, Gerds.
Bellyache.
I can't believe I didn't get three people jumping at that.
He was just too quick for me, Gerds.
Very quick. Where did he play?
Emma.
In...
Oh,
yes, Emma. Interesting. In. Interesting. You came in. Came in so close. What did you you have an answer? Nothing.
Raiders?
Well, that's not right. Where did he play in Canberra's 1990 grand final
Gerds,
win?
On the bench.
Gerds?
On the bench.
Yes, he did. He did come from the bench.
I don't know.
You didn't answer the question at all. Mm. You didn't answer the question at all. There are many other questions that need to be asked about your response, but you didn't answer the question. Question number three. How many times has he coached a losing season?
Never.
Correct. Where was Craig Bellamy born?
Oh, I know that too. I just can't think of it.
Oh, I know that too. I just can't think of
Gerds.
It. Yes, Gerds.
In a hospital? I get that one.
A hospital in Portland, New South Wales.
There you go.
What team did he captain coach?
Oh. Gertz.
Yes, Gertz.
The Portland Pirates.
Was that a snort?
It was a snort. Can you give him a ding for that? That's wrong. It was Turvey Park in Wagga Wagga.
Why does he get a ding?
Because it was a good answer. What trade?
This is disgraceful.
It was better than your answer to question two. That's all I'm saying to you. What trade did he have?
Emma?
Yes, Emma.
Carpenter?
Electrician?
He was an electrician.
Plumber?
Is your buzz, you just completely...
I thought other people being very... Just giving the lady an opportunity.
Absolutely, okay. Would we say lady? Electrician is the correct answer. Question seven. Cameron Smith passed...
Brownie, tries.
Yeah, well, that's part of the question. How many?
47?
46. 46. I'm going to give you...
Cameron got to 47.
Correct. Right, yeah. How many Dally M Coach of the Year awards has he won?
Oh, gee.
Emma.
Birds. I think he got in there, Emma.
Emma?
Five.
Correct. Five is great.
That's good.
Have a listen to this and tell me what's happening.
Birds. What are you doing?
Emma.
Do you know what you're doing?
I do know. I'm a real fucking.
Not much.
I wish we'd had that technology for Emma a little earlier. Yeah.
He's not doing much.
What is
he's laying on the ground trying to change a tyre.
Craig Bellamy and Cam Smith are terrific. I think that double act comedy act going around the country should be terrific. I think.
Also, what was. I don't know if anyone picked up, but before the press conference started last night, Bellamy was talking to Cam, not realising, I think, that the mics were still on, and they were whispering to each other, I think, about Brandon Smith, and there are a few swear words in there basically saying, oh, he dropped this ball and he cost us, and go back and listen, a couple of swear words. I think we needed the little beep machine for that as well.
All right, we won't need it for this next segment. Kevin Walters joins us next on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M. Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Nice to be with you, and always nice this time to illegally cross the border into Queensland, where we catch up with Ben Dobbin. Dobbo, g'day.
Yeah, how are we, guys? Well, look, we want to be open. We'd love you to come and visit us, but we don't want to get too political. We've just got some crazy, crazy people running this state at the moment, so...
Are they aware of what this impacts on you in terms of the grand final?
Well, I just would like to say this. I'm going to send Anastasia an invoice. Now, if for anybody that's not aware of this, forever since Triple M NRL has been alive, I've done the grand final sideline. Well, this year it's not to be. And I just would like to say to Emma Lawrence, you know, congratulations. You'll be warming the seat for one grand final. Don't get too your white anning got you a long way.
Please. I think Dan said I'm the Stephen Bradbury, so it's all right. I'll take it.
Yeah, I thought Dan might have been a little harsh on you last night, but let me just say, look, you know, everybody deserves that opportunity, and you'll get that next week, but don't get too comfortable.
I won't. You're the king, Dobbo. Don't worry. I learn from the best.
Hey, Dobbo, can you explain what happened last night? I mean, it was 16-0, and there were thousands of people still outside of Suncorp Stadium.
What a schmozzle.
By the time they got in, the game was over.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was actually literally affected by this. I had some friends who I'd given tickets to, and the worst thing you ever do is look at your phone. We're 20 minutes away from kickoff, and they said, oh, the tickets don't work on my phone. And I thought it was just myself. I thought I'd stuff something up. But there was 20,000 people outside Suncorp Stadium. Do you believe that nobody had at any stage come out and said, look, we do have a ticketing issue? Ticket text had gone down, and so no one was able to retrieve the tickets off their mobile phones. They don't want to have hard copies anymore. That's all on the phone, and it went down. Now, my understanding is that Channel 9 did go to the NRL and ask them to delay the game. That wasn't well received, and that didn't happen. But I think in a prelim final, where you've got two teams, this is the first time we had crowds. It was 37,000 ended up being there. Why wouldn't you have just held it for another 10 minutes just to get them in? They ended up swinging the gates. That's the big thing. They swung the gates. The people that who were going, they had halfway row seats. They ended up sitting in a corner because they just said, look, we just grabbed the first seat we could get. I do want to say the good news story out of it was they were selling tickets for $20. I am sure there'll be blokes there that paid $20 and were five rows back on the halfway line watching the game last night. So good luck to them.
There'd be people that were at the TAB at the Caxton as well that would have run down when they heard the gates were swung. They probably had good seats as well.
Bloody oath, you're dead right. So, it's a bit unfortunate, and you wonder why these things happen. I just wish that, because as it was, Melbourne came out of the blocks and bang, 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 and look, they were three tries in after 15 minutes, and a lot of people didn't see all of those tries. Most people missed the Bromwich try, and then Sully's try, which was the second, I think, which was just quite unbelievable. A lot of people got to see that, but it was still very much so. The funniest thing out of the whole lot was with 20 minutes to play in the whole game, an announcement came over Suncorp Stadium saying, the ticket system is working now, so please go to your seats.
No.
As if people were going to shift up with 20 minutes to go. The game was done. So,
can you explain something to me? I'm a man who likes to follow the rules. You know, I'm the son of a preacher and a lay preacher and a policeman. So I if I'm told to do something, that's exactly what I do. I'm concerned then when the gates were swung open, even before then, when those crowds were gathered outside. In terms of, were we socially distanced? How does this all work? I mean, in terms of what's going to happen in the grand final, what's going to happen in the AFL grand final up there? What were people allowed to sit next to each other? What happened?
It was, and this is something, I'm going to the prelim. The Lions are playing tonight in Brisbane. I'm going to that as well. And I'm just interested to see how it was. It was literally they were all advised that they had to have masks on and everything, and they sanitised when they came in. But it got to the point they swung and not one person listened to that. It was back to the old days.
It was a Donald Trump rally suddenly.
Pretty much so. The interesting thing was we'll know in 14 days, won't we, if that was a success or not, I guess. That's the way it is these days. You just have to hope and pray.
Well, it'd be good if we could close our border to Queensland rather than the other way around then, if that was to happen. That would be terrific.
That potentially, we could be locked out. But I want to go and see my mum in Sydney. So, guys, please let it open so I can go and see my mum. That's all I want to do.
Dobbo, what about the story with Mal Meninga getting on board the Queensland State of Origin team?
Yeah, this was a strange one. Mal Meninga put his hand up for that Origin job when it was clear that Kevin Walters was going to get the Broncos job. The QRL decided that Wayne Bennett was the right fit. The reasons that they gave were that he's coaching this modern game with the rule changes, so the adjustments, he has a better understanding. Then 2 weeks later, Mal Meninga is now an assistant coach of this side, along with Neil Henry. Last year, Queensland had Justin Hodges. Now they've got Neil Henry. Gavin Allen has been very much part of it, but he unfortunately can't be part of the squad. He has some health-related issues, and the doctors have literally ruled him out of being in that bubble. They said it was too dangerous and they put him at risk. So they were down a coach as it is. Now, I spoke to Wayne about this. I said, Wayne, is this... has Mal been forced upon you, or is this your pick? And Wayne went into some depth about how he coached him, you know, when he was 15 in 1975 at the police academy. So that's how far they go back. In 1985, Wayne Bennett coached him in the BRL to a premiership. They have a very, very long history. And, I mean, it's a great narrative, isn't it? I mean, Mal Meninga, the most successful Origin coach of all time, with arguably the most successful coach in the history of the game in Wayne Bennett, coaching an underdog Queensland side. Oh, it's got the makings for a real upset.
I love you. Throw the underdog in there pretty quick, Dobbo.
And Dobbo, wouldn't the story be even more romantic if Cam Smith made a comeback?
Yeah, well, I don't know. After talking to Cam Smith last night, I mean, I've never seen a player get carried off a field and everybody cheer, and then when get to a press conference say, no, I'm not retiring. it's the first, and I witnessed it last night. Look, I mean, pigs do fly. I don't think Cam's going to play, but it would be even better if they called on him. I mean, let's dare to dream. It's 1-1, the decider Suncorp Stadium, Jake Friend's injured, Ben Hunt's having to play in the halves, and Wayne and Mal make the phone call. You know, I mean, that's the only way I could see it. Cam Smith comes back for game three.
Well, yeah. It must be nice, though, Dobbo. We talked about it earlier, and he deserves whatever he gets. And the punters deserve to see Cam Smith, and that, you know, they're being chaired off. It was a great moment.
I was standing next to his dad. His dad, Wayne, who we all know in Brisbane, who's a great bloke, he came down and he was talking to Wally and Kevy, and love it. He's a Triple M listener. He's a huge fan of Triple M, Cam Smith's old man. And I said, is this it? And he goes, mate, I don't even know. He said, he won't tell me. And but he had his phone out recording it as well because he said, you know, and it was phenomenal. I'm so pleased I stayed back and before I went to the press conferences to see it because it was quite phenomenal. They carried him all the way off and it was something special. And Craig Bellamy's reasoning behind it was that I don't know, but I thought, well, if this is it, we've got to make sure that he remembers leaving Suncorp Stadium when he does make the decision. So, I mean, it was super impressive. To me, I mean, it's done. I don't know why he's going to hold on to it. It'd be better if he just made the announcement on Monday at the Storm Loving where all the media get to see it. Listen, this is my last game and we can all move on and make it a great narrative for next week. But he won't and none the wiser. I don't even 100% know if Cameron knows, but the way he's playing, he definitely could go around. And if he does want to just think about having one more year, I'm sure the Brisbane Broncos would be more than happy to have him for a season just to show Jake Turpin and a few other guys just how it's done.
Hey, Dobbo, just one from left field. The Melbourne guys, obviously, they've got one more week to go. After that, some of them will go into Origin, but the rest of them, what are they going to do? Are they going to go back to Melbourne?
No, they've got to have 2 weeks, mate. They've got to...
But will they go back or will they stay out while it's in lockdown?
They're going to stay and they're going to isolate. And even Craig Bellamy's got to do that. He's got to isolate for 2 weeks to be free in Queensland. So most of them, the majority of them, will do what had to happen with Brisbane after they played their final game. They have to have another 2 weeks quarantine and then they're free to go. You're right. There's some players who'll go to the Queensland and New South Wales sides. And so they'll go into those sort of bubbles as such. But the rest of them, coach included, are going to have to self-isolate for 2 weeks and then away she goes.
Dobbo, what about the Broncos, mate? Anyone been tapped on the shoulder yet?
Well, if you listen to all the reports, you'd think that the whole side's gone. But I spoke to Kevin last night and Brownie, you know what this is like in the sense that I think there's got to be a few cards fall in other areas at other clubs before Brisbane can start, you know, weaving some magic. At the moment, there's nothing. Look, they certainly need to move some players. And they've certainly got players that other clubs would like, but it's like a game of chess at the present moment. I do still believe that from all reports and this has never been confirmed at the club, but there is obviously an appetite for Jack Bird to be moved on, and unfortunately Matt Lodge as well. And I mean they're high priced players. I mean Lodge has got another 3 years at the club, so I don't know who's going to take that on, but. Clearly, there's some talk and movement. They have to do something to try and get some other players in because, I mean, they're not going to have Katoni Staggs until the middle of the year. They're going to be light on with some backs. I mean, Kevy's actually said Milford's his man at six and they've got Dearden. But I think that there will be a bit of horse trading once other clubs start moving players.
Well, we can find out. We're going to have a chat with Kevy Walters this as well.
He'll tell you everything. He'll spill his guts. It's all off the record. He'll tell you the whole lot.
Totally. Dobbo, thanks for having a chat. Great to
good
talk to you.
Guys. Cheers.
There he is, Ben Dobbin, always brilliant, all the way from Brisbane. Plenty ahead. It's a Saturday Scrum. We're doing it for King's G. King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Nathan Brown, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Gerla, Tony Squires, and the most important, of course, right now, it's Kevin Walters. Kevy, g'day.
Oh, dear, that's very kind of you. Yeah, absolutely. So much, I wasn't expecting that.
No, of course you weren't. I haven't spoken to you, I think, since your appointment. Congratulations, just from me personally.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, mate. Now, look, so, everyone knows how excited I am about the post and how long I've sort of been working to try and get myself into this position, and we're here now. So, yeah, it's very exciting, mate. Very grateful for the opportunity as well.
Now, before we get into that, let's just go to the news of the day. You were working for Fox last night, the game. What did you make of that performance from the Storm? They were impressive, huh?
Oh, they're always impressive this time of the year, the Storm. And just looking at some of their numbers in the last 10 years, don't go back 2 or 3 years, go 10 years. They've been an outstanding club. And, with the week off, Bellamy and his team of support staff and coaching staff and everyone involved in the club, for that matter, they just get it right when it matters, don't they? And the week off, for me, in this particularly in this competition at the moment, it's a huge advantage. And they use that to their advantage. They look fresh. And even in the warm-up, just watching them live, I was fortunate to be at the stadium last night and to watch them warm up, and you can just see the energy coming out of all of them in the warm up, which then exploded onto the field.
And Kevy, we loved watching on the TV and seeing in the paper this morning that great picture of Cam getting chaired off. What was it like to be there and witness that?
Oh, it was fantastic. 35,000 or 37,000 Queenslanders there last night. They had to open the gates to get them all in, as everyone's aware of. And then Cameron was replaced with about 5 minutes to go from the far side of the field in the eastern stand. So he had to sort of walk half around the stadium. By the time he got to the dead ball line, everyone was sort of standing up and cheering and applauding him, which was, you know, rightly so. He's been a master of Suncorp Stadium. His record there is better than any Broncos player. So they did it well again last night. It was great to see him head off into the, you know, well, I'm not sure if he'll be back next year, but if that's his last performance at Suncorp, well, it's one to be remembered, isn't it?
Did you get chaired off at any point, Kevy?
I did, but there was a hole in the seat and I fell through it. So,
Hey, no, Kevy. Hey, we turn our attention now to the other prelim, Panthers versus the Rabbitohs. Who do you like?
I'm going to stick with the Panthers. I think a lot of people have been waiting for them to fall over, but from what I've seen, and again last night reiterated to me, that week off is all important. And South are in great touch as well, so they won't have it all their own way. And yeah, but I just feel the Panthers have been the best team all year, and I don't see why that's going to change tonight. I mean, they've just got that bond amongst them. You see in that young faces, they don't care what's in front of them. They just want to get the ball and run hard and make their tackles, which is what the game is, and they're doing it better than most.
Kevy, well, now you're in charge of the Bronx. Will my great mate Gordy Tallis be strolling around training again?
He's already grabbed his locker. He wants a set of keys for the locker. Set of keys for the gym. I don't know what the gym's for because he won't use it. We've seen the size of Big Gordy. No, but look, Gordy's always, you know, we're good mates, as you are with him, Brownie, and he's really happy, I guess, more so than anyone for me and everything. And, you know, I know he's got some links with the Titans, but we'll be using the Big GT as much as we can. I love his passion for the game and also, you know, for Queensland when I was there is a big help for me in that regard. And also now we'll get some leverage out of him, Brownie. Don't worry about that, mate.
Good on you, mate.
Speaking of Queensland, we just spoke to Dobbo. Mal Meninga coming on board in terms of that group of coaching alongside Wayne Bennett. What are your thoughts?
Well, it just shows the big hole that I left. They had to fill it with a couple of times. that's a pretty good wrap on me, I reckon. Now I leave and they replace me with two coaches. Like, how good am I going? Meninga and Bennett, feel the greats of all time of origin. I'm pretty happy with that, to be honest.
I reckon you should be going back into the Bronx now and just explaining to them what your value is, Kevin, and getting the pay rise.
It's just skyrocket, I can tell you. We get our first win next year, I'll be straight into that office, into Paul White's office, and there we go. But look, I think it's absolutely amazing for Queensland, for those young Queensland kids who haven't had the opportunity. You know, let's get it real here. I think only DCE, and I think he's the only surviving member that's been coached by Mal, and certainly Wayne Bennett's coaching. Well, he'll have Jaden Sewer and Dane Gagai, but apart from that, he wouldn't have coached too many of those guys, maybe Jai Arrow and a couple of others, but a lot of those younger players, it's going to be a great experience, not only the origin experience, but also the fact that they'll get the opportunity to be coached by, you know, one of the great coaches of all time in Wayne Bennett and one of the best ever origin coach in Mal Meninga.
Kevy, what about the Queensland side? When I look at the Queensland pack this year, I look at, you know, the emergence of Lindsay Collins, who's now sort of rattled up his 40 or 50 games. Jaden Sewer, in my opinion, has been one of the form back rows in the competition and brings great leg speed. Big Tino's been one of the form players, young forwards in the competition too. I look at Queensland's pack and I think it's going to be better than what you've been fielding the last couple of years, just on the leg speed and youth.
Well, this day has been coming, Brownie. That's why I was so disappointed to have to leave the post. I mean, these young Queenslanders that are coming through are very exciting. It's a new era for Queensland. And, you know, watching Big Tino rip in last night, I mean, you know, let's not forget David Fifita's, he's not available either. So there's a great young batch. Lindsay Collins has been in a great system at the Roosters. You know, these young, and Papali, well, I think it's from a selfish point of view for Queensland, I think it's great that Josh will get a week off and freshen up into Origin 1 because, you know, going into last night's game, he was the best front rower in the game. So in great hands. And then you throw in DCE and even AJ Brimson at fullback, his last 14 games, well, he just fixed himself. And Kalen, I know, will be missing, but AJ Brimson is the equal of anyone at the moment in the game in the fullback jumper.
And you know Ben Hunt probably better than most, Kevy. You know, just watching Ben Hunt play, I feel that him playing with a Cherry Evans if Wayne does play him at six. I think that'll suit him having, say, a real game controller in Cherry Evans, just letting him play footy. Do you agree with that? Or?
Oh, 100%, yeah. You know, everyone knows how I feel about Benny Hunt. Not, he's in any coach that I'll be – any team that I'll be coaching for Queensland, he'd be in there somewhere. It'll be 9, 6, 7 or 14. And I think he'll bring great value possibly in the 14 jumper if Munster gets through next week's grand final. And even if he doesn't, in that six jersey, you're right, Brandon, he's a player. He's a very competitive player. And I just remember what he did last year. He hasn't played hooker for some years, and he played every minute of the three origins last year and just put his body on the line for Queensland. And to me, that summarises what type of person that Benny is, yeah.
He won't have to do it this year. Sorry, Kevy, you've got a couple of good number nines coming through. Obviously, hopefully Jake gets an opportunity at some point. And then Harry Grant, what have you made of his season?
Oh, both terrific. I mean, Jake's been waiting in the wings, hasn't he, for a long time. He was injured, you know, last year through the Origin Series and the year before. So, I mean, he brings great experience, which, you know, to that team at the moment, that's what they need. You know, if you've got the likes, you know, of Josh Papali and Jake, you know, out in the middle where it really matters with that experience, I think that's gold for Queensland. And, I truly hope that he gets his opportunity. I know that he will at some stage throughout the series, and I believe that'll be, you know, in game one. And Harry Grant, well, he's the future of the Maroons, isn't he? Two great, good ones. An older guy that's finally getting his opportunity, and a younger one that we know has got the ability to be there for 10 years.
And Kevy, a bit left field, but as a Tigers fan, I've got to ask, how's Billy travelling in his recovery from that ACL injury?
Yeah, no, he's going along okay. He got the brace off a couple of weeks ago, so a steady improvement for Billy. He's got a long road in front of him. He hopes to be back for the Tigers, I think, possibly round three or round four. So we'll see how that all goes. But, that'll be interesting next year when we come up against the Tigers. He might be in for a little bit of a special treatment, that Billy Ray.
And just quickly, Kevy, I know, I mean, the feet under the desk for the Broncos, I mean, there's clearly got to be some, you know, tough and interesting calls that you're going to make over the next little while.
Yeah, don't officially start till the 1st of December. But under my desk, it's a bit hard to get my feet because Alan Langer's underneath me. So I've got to get rid of him first, and then we can get on get some serious stuff going. But no, look, I'm really excited about it. And we have had some talks, and I've been in there the last couple of weeks sparingly, trying to sort out our roster as well as all of our coaching staff next year. And we're nearly there with it all, so a little bit of work to do. And then we'll have a short rest. Well, when I say rest, we'll be watching that Origin series with a whole lot of passion for Queensland, and then back into pre-season training. So it's all looking good for the Wilders household, I can tell you.
Well, Kevy, always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for sparing some time for us.
No worries. Great. Thanks for having me. Good on you. And Brownie.
Kevy.
Back off, Brownie. Back off. Back it right off. All right.
See you, pal.
See you, mate. Bye-bye.
I love it. There he is, Kevy Walters. You try and take some of his men. Is that what's going on, Brownie?
Well, there's certainly some extremely talented players up
there. So, yes. Yes.
Well, every club will tell you they're always interested in talented players, and the Broncos certainly have got an abundance. And, you know, obviously, Kevy's going to look to put his feel on the place, and there's obviously some players that he'll probably want to move and some different types he wants to bring in to get to form the balance. But as we all know in this game, it's moving people, unless they're good players, is tough to do.
Yeah.
There's a nice diplomatic way of saying, yes, I'm after your players, Kevy.
Yeah, there's a nice smile on his voice at the moment. It'll be interesting when we speak to him during next year. See how he's travelling. The great Kevin Walters. Believe it or not, is next on the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
So nice to have your company. Just over an hour left to share with you, but in that time, so much to get to. Reedy will join us shortly. Josh Addo-Carr, after that Storm brilliant win last night, they are through to the grand final, and the Fox will be here in roughly 10 minutes. Right now, though, this.
Believe it or not. Believe it or not.
I've come up with the special Wayne Bennett edition of Believe It or Not. So there's been a lot of talk in the media this week about whether Wayne is telling some porkies, whether he's deliberately just trying to mislead people, whether it be for the benefit of his team, just to cover stuff. I love the way he goes about that. I just think he's hilarious. I love the way he plays the media. Mm-hmm. I know people, even people like Yvonne Sampson, who doesn't usually come out and talk about it, she says that his chat about what happened at Penrith and being approached to go to Penrith is very, very different to what she had heard. Others say the same thing. So I'm just going to throw a few of these are things that Wayne Bennett has said over the years. And I'm just going to ask you whether you believe it or not. Are we ready to go? The Wayne Bennett edition of Believe It or Not. Number one, we're talking to him in a minute. Josh Adokar is not coming to South Sydney. That is not happening. Believe it or not. Em?
sorry. I'm getting confused about the whole... I think he will end up at South Sydney. But there's a high chance.
But you do believe it.
Josh Adokar is not. So I don't believe it. So I don't believe what Wayne Bennett is saying.
You don't believe what Wayne Bennett is saying? You think Josh, there's a chance he will come?
Yes. Okay. Well, he has said publicly he wants to come to Sydney for family reasons. The Tigers were in the race, but he's good friends with quite a few of the boys at South Sydney. Latrell Mitchell, James Roberts. I think there's a good chance he will end up there.
Okay. What do you think, Brownie?
I don't think so because of the amount of backs that South Sydney have. Their cap's probably in a situation where they've nearly overspent on backs with the amount of depth they got there. So I would have thought that it'd be unlikely.
All right, so you believe that statement? Josh Adokar is not coming to South Sydney, all right? And what about you, Gertz?
Yeah, I tend to believe that statement too, Tane.
Okay.
I think because they've got, you know, Latrell at the back and he wanted to spend a little bit of time fullback. They've got Johnston on the wing and they've got Allen now who's just, you know, in the back half of the year just come on in leaps and bounds. So if he's going to go there, I think he's going to have to take a pay rise and I don't know why he'd want to do that at this stage of his career. So
Pay cut.
A pay cut, sorry. Mm. Yeah, so I don't believe it or I do believe
it. But there are rumours that they're trying to offload a couple of them, like Robert Skagai, whether or not that happens, okay. But... I feel like because Wayne Bennett said it, I'm just inclined to not believe it.
Oh,
I think that's look.
That's cruel. What about this one then? When we know that with the Penrith, the discussion was whether he in fact been approached by the Panthers to coach there. Now, he said of the CEO, is Dave O'Neill is running the Panthers.
The chairman.
Quote, I wouldn't know Dave O'Neill if he walked past me on the street tomorrow. Mm. Believe it or not. Good.
Yeah, I tend to believe that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I tend to believe.
What a suck up to Wayne you are.
Well, is Wayne allowed even out on the streets? Because he's in the bubble, isn't he? And he's not going to break the bubble again. So at this point in time, I believe he's telling the truth.
Brownie, you believe it?
Yeah, I believe it because Dave's obviously the chairman and mm-hmm. there's plenty of chairmans. I don't know what the chairman looks like of plenty of clubs. And Wayne's reported deal was done with Gus Gould. He didn't say he didn't know Gus Gould. He said he didn't know Dave O'Neill.
Bang. Okay. Em?
I think, again, just because it's Wayne, I feel like... because
can't
that's
just be because it's Wayne.
No, because he's
good at what he
does.
Everything he says is not true.
When we're in those media conferences every week, a lot of the time, then a few weeks later, when he denies a player's coming there,
you are
they do go there. It's great. I love it. I think we need Wayne in the game, and it's good entertainment, but... I'm sure he would have seen a photo or something. May not have met Dave O'Neill, you know.
Okay, Brandon, but what about this from Wayne? I haven't watched Penrith play all year.
No, I don't think that's actually what he said.
No, that's probably a little
bit. I think he said,
harsh.
I haven't seen much.
Is that a direct quote, Charlie?
No,
that's not a direct quote.
Making someone out of.
Yes.
That's not exactly what he said.
No, I think.
I've hardly seen them play.
I saw a press conference about, I don't know, it was 4 or 5 weeks ago and. Wayne got asked about the opposition, and Wayne said then, he said, oh, we don't have to worry about the opposition. We just got to worry about ourselves because our best is good enough.
Yep.
And I reckon Wayne, he had a feeling where his side was moving and humming along to, and I think by saying that he's not really seen Penrith, well, he's not going to go and talk Penrith up like everyone is because they're going so well. So I just think that's his way of just half by ignoring Penrith and putting a lot more faith in his own side. In my opinion, that's what I think he's done. But I think he would have seen something of Penrith in the past sort of month play football, I would have thought.
How crucial is video review in this day and age in terms of coaching?
Look, it's hugely important and I suppose what you show too. But Wayne's certainly not going to be at training, coaching a big underdog, telling them how good Penrith is. I can assure you that. And that's pretty much what he said in his press conference last week. Well, I haven't really seen him. Because if he started talking about him, he's obviously got to be reasonably...
positive.
Reasonably positive because they haven't lost a game for 16 weeks. So I just think that was Wayne's way of, I don't really care about Penrith. I'm just more worried about my side being confident, which they are.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, I think he's probably watched them play a game. I don't know if it would be his role to watch too many games because he's got the assistants to do things like that and he's probably focused on other areas. But I'm the same as Brownie. It's probably not in his his team's best interest to have Wayne, you know, talking about the opposition and promoting them and praising them for what they've done. So I think he's probably had a look at him, but he's not talking about him too much.
Are you going to bother asking me, really? I mean, I think it's just Wayne's way. And I think he started doing that as well, refusing to talk about the opposition. It coincides with when South started really kicking into gear at the end of the season. So he's very smart. Knows what he's doing, knows how to get the best out of his players.
And he's been doing it for a long, long time. Josh Adokar joins us next on the Saturday Scrum.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24-7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.